broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 6th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 202. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the Founding Fathers are absolutely brilliant and the key to the exercise. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt, is in order. Hope you can help us with that. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. All right, Kurt's missing
action. Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
A sprint back from the garden, eh?
No, there was some other thing showed up on my screen right when I was trying to click on that. And then I was like, hey, what in the world are you doing there?
You should call Bill about that.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Gates and I were just closely associated.
Yeah. No, he's too busy helping out Hillary, isn't he?
Vaccinating the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not fun, is it, Kurt?
I recommend against that, yeah.
You recommend against vaccines, Kurt?
That's right.
Don't you know, Kurt?
The God of heaven intended you to be that stuff, you know what I mean? Just doesn't make sense to me, but I'm kind of a country bumpkin, you know.
Well, if you just were enlightened, my friend. I don't know if you've heard about this whole big old Glenn Beck scenario, Kurt. Have you heard about this? Glenn Beck says Trump will be fantastic at launching his own TV network. That's Glenn's way of saying that the Donald's going to lose, Kurt. Did you see this?
I didn't see him talk about Donald launching a TV network.
Yeah, so Glenn Beck says that the Donald will be fantastic relating to his TV network and all that kind of stuff. And what do you think about that? You think Donald's going to lose, and do you think he's going to start a TV network, Kurt?
I don't think so. I think at least if, and this is a very big if we have an honest election where people's votes, you know, are really counted and the vote is accurate, I think Hillary will be lucky to get a state or two. That's just my opinion. I wish, you know, that my friends Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley were the winners. Now, I know that, anything can happen with God in control. So, you know, I'm going to vote my conscience and let the chips fall where they may.
You're right about that, Kurt. Anything could happen with God. But I believe that whether the Donald wins or not, he'll probably put together some kind of a media apparatus. And they make it sound like it's negative that he will, that it's like the fallback or meltdown plan or the plan that he's had all along. I'm not going to speculate if that's true or not. I'm not going to do it. I have no idea. But what I do know is it's interesting that Glenn Beck says that about Donald. Glenn Beck says Donald will be fantastic at launching his own TV network. Now, at the very exact time Glenn's popping off and saying that stuff, Kurt, Glenn Beck's dying empire gives up on the Hollywood dream. Lloyd Grove wrote the article, and American Dream Labs was supposed to be the movie-making arm of Beck's, they say, right-wing media empire. This weekend, Glenn Beck had to admit that Dream was over. Glenn Beck's financially troubled multimedia empire took another hit over the weekend as Beck had to announce that Radio Mercury Arts, his, quote, privately held umbrella company, has abruptly stopped producing film and television broadcasts and project under his once cherished subsidiary, American Dream Labs. And in a statement posted on Glenn's website, he kind of called the shutdown a divorce. He says, we got to keep these things separate. But the demise of Beck's subsidiary is the latest troubling development for, quote, his once flourishing enterprise, because they've had to terminate nearly half of their 300-plus employees over the last year. They've been embroiled in cash flow problems, Kurt. And they've been embroiled in costly litigation. Beck's former chief executive and well-known good friend, Christopher, however you say his name, Bath, whom Beck fired in December 2014 to make way for the promotion of tech entrepreneur Jonathan Schreiber. Anyway, the bottom line is there's a suit and a countersuit going on. You know, the employee says he's owed hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a big old scandal, Kurt. So I find it fascinating that Glenn Beck mentions that, you know, well, Donald's going to have to step back from his presidential aspirations and just launch a new media service or a new television media network. And Glenn Beck says it's really hard to do. I don't know if you'll be successful, Glenn. If you want to appeal to the broad base, you can't get it done. If you want to appeal to your own, quote, viewers, listeners, or people that love you, then you'll probably do an incredible job and make millions. Any final thoughts on that, Kurt?
When I look at the whole Glenn Beck thing, you know, I certainly welcome anybody into the media world, you know, but so many times it gets pretty tough to avoid the whole duplicating what the other guys have done. And I'm talking about huge amounts of money. And when you do that kind of stuff, you get tempted, I think, to, hey, go into things that, well, maybe you're not ready to. And it's difficult for, I think, any ongoing entity to avoid, you know, branching out maybe too far.
Amen to that, and I think that's what Donald, or that's what Glenn Beck did. You know, if Glenn wants to get a handle on how to do things inexpensively, Kurt.
Yeah.
I'm just one call away, right? Isn't that song?
Yeah. It's easy.
I don't know that I'm Superman, but, you know. But I'm just telling you, I can help Glenn save some cash and get her done.
Yeah.
Glenn could fund our operations times 10 without even blinking an eye, Kurt.
That's right.
And if he wants some guidance. All right, Patrick Simmons, rightwork.org, our guest. Hope you had a delightful Labor Day weekend, sir.
I did. Thank you, Sam. Hope you did, too.
And what do you think, though? Glenn Beck running around and saying Donald is going to launch a media service. Glenn Beck says Trump will be fantastic at launching his own TV network. It's kind of an idea saying Hillary's already won. Donald, give up and crank up your TV network. We all know that's what it's about, etc. I'm not sure that I would make statements like that as a talk show host prior to the election. I wouldn't go far to say it's election tampering, but I'm questioning that agenda. What would you do that for?
Well, you know, obviously, Glenn Beck's in the media business, too. I don't know if he wants to get some attention for his network, or he just sometimes, you know, you say something like that and your name gets in the news. But I think it's too early to really know how this election is going to shake out. So, you know, I think there'll be plenty of time for people to decide what they're going to do after the election before people start making those decisions.
Especially when you have to admit your whole huge division shuts down on the same weekend. It's like, I'm not so sure it's time for you to start making statements like that. Anyway, I find that interesting. But all of that's a complete distraction. They pulled the plug on Donald Trump's event at a black church. They literally said, shut it down. And yanked the plug when a black pastor and a black congregation was absolutely supportive of Donald Trump. This is a fiasco in the media. I bring all this up because it seems like all these are distractions. We had a chance to make Right to Work really center stage yesterday. I mean, after all, it's Labor Day. After all, Donald and Hillary both are basically saying, all right, it's the kickoff of the final leg, if you will, to the elections. 63 days left, they say, etc. It was a chance to really let it take center stage, but the media made sure that it didn't happen. Hillary, of course, is really in the trenches for the unions. Donald might have had a breakout moment on that, but no one let him get it done. What do you say, Patrick?
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, we like to use Labor Day as a reason to focus on right to work and on freedom in the workplace, and talking about the problem of compulsory unionism, the fact that it's just a real injustice to our Constitution and our principles that unions are this one organization in America that has the power to force someone to pay them instead of having to voluntarily get them to agree to pay them.
All right, hold on, Patrick Simmons, righttoworkwork.org. We normally let you go at 30. We're going to keep you longer because after the weekend, we had to kind of do some adjustments to get you on. We'll give you more time. We'll do it all in seconds. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live with Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Patrick Simmons on your radio, righttowork.org. We're talking about yesterday, Labor Day, one of the most important breakout days to talk about right to work and to talk about the abuse of forced unions. I'm going to say that again, forced unions in bed with government. And it was an opportunity of a lifetime for Trump to have a real contrast moment with Hillary. But I submit the mainstream press wouldn't let him get away with it. And whether Donald would have really doubled down on this or not, I don't know. But he's been supportive of right to work before. He understands the issues. He's had to deal with unions his whole life being in New York City, though. And so there's a little bit of a strange scenario of how Donald wants to handle that. I think it's sad that he didn't take that opportunity for a breakout moment, though, to talk about, look, I'm not against unions, folks. I'm not against people getting together and wanting to work and wanting to join as a group to better their conditions. That's the American way, to have the freedom to do that. The problem is this forced union stuff. The problem is this, the union stands against everything that I hold dear, but I'm still forced by threat of my life or bodily injury to go along. This idea that government's in bed with unions to pull the lever in favor of the union at the people's expense many times. At what point then, if the union doesn't represent me, can I leave? And the answer is, it's like the Hotel of California, you can't leave. See, that's my problem with it all. But it could have been a breakout moment for the Donald, Patrick.
Yeah, I do think so. And I actually saw an interesting poll that came out this weekend. And what it basically found is that right now, Clinton and Trump are basically splitting the union household vote 50-50, right down the middle. And of course, you wouldn't necessarily know that from the media and the endorsements and the millions and millions of dollars and ads that these unions are spending, or the union bosses are spending their members' money on, because, you know, we see political contributions of unions and it's like 98% Democrats or something like that. But we actually poll the members, and this is a poll by, I think, the Las Vegas Sun, so, you know, reputable, you know, sort of mainstream operation there. They found 50-50, and traditionally it's been about 60-40 tilting towards Democrats. But even so, when you look at the union political spending and 90 and 95% of their money going to one party, the fact that 40% of their members, or maybe 50% of their members, are voting for the candidate that the union's trying to defeat with their money, it really highlights this outrage. And certainly, you know, despite, I think, the sort of media blackout maybe on this issue, Donald Trump seems to be making some inroads. And I do think that his support of right to work can only help him there. I mean, we've looked at national polls in the past, and you see 75% of independents in favor of right to work, over 50% of Democrats in favor of right to work. Republicans also strongly, you know, 75-80% favor right to work. So this is an issue that's popular with everyone. Obviously, it's not popular with union bosses, but when you look at the citizens of America who do broadly support freedom and the idea that unions should be voluntary and not coerced, this is something that that can really be a difference maker in November, I think.
And Donald could have articulated himself very well on this. He could have basically said, listen, flat out, ladies and gentlemen, I'm for the unions, and I'm for right to work. And I know that the mainstream dialogue has been that those are at odds. I disagree. If we have right to work states and people form voluntary unions, we could have a tremendous win-win here, folks. Why don't we get that done yesterday? What do you say, Patrick?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent message, and I think that's, you know, I mean, that really is the right to work position. Our position is that
is not anti-union.
Right. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's something great about people voluntarily getting together to better their condition and to, you know, say, here we're gonna voluntarily band together to make our lives better, to be able to support our families and that sort of thing. The problem is the government coercion in this area, where you have people forced under a union contract, even if they don't want that contract, even if they could do a better job and get a better deal on their own. And then on top of it, having people then have to be forced to fund that union and the union so-called representation that in many cases harms them. I mean, we know from studies and even some of the union academics' own writing that workers, often the most productive workers in a workplace, are harmed by a one-size-fits-all union contract. I mean, it's not hard to see if you take teacher contracts, which generally work on straight seniority. The district is shrinking, not as many kids coming. Who gets laid off? The ones who have been teaching the least amount of time. Those people still have to pay union dues, and yet they are literally fired because of their union contract. So it's just an example that unions are harming the very workers they often claim to represent.
Well, and I think that's the message that you can articulate very simply if you really try. In other words, even how long did it take me to articulate what I said? 20 seconds? You could literally work on it and create commercials, sound bites, efforts that could literally blow the unions up in a way that would be valuable, that would simply say, look, unions can be fantastic. We got to get rid of this force element, this mandated element. We've got to have right to work, but we've got to also realize that people getting together is a good thing. How do we have the American dream? How do we make America great again and have both? And the longer unions have been in existence, the more tyrannical they become. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they certainly become more and more reliant on government power. And that's really the key, as you know, we talk about every month. It's so much about their constituents are no longer their own members. First of all, they just force them to pay in most cases in the non-right to work states, so they don't really have to worry about making sure that they want to pay. You know, I mean, if I don't like my cable company or if I don't like the supermarket I'm going to, I can shop around and say, here's some other options, and call them up and say, you know, if this doesn't get straightened out, or if you don't reduce my bill, or if the service isn't good, I'm going elsewhere. These workers can't do that, and so there's no accountability. And then on top of it, you know, what they do is basically they're more worried about their power in state legislatures and in Congress and in the federal bureaucracy, because that's where they derive so much of their authority and their power over workers. And it's definitely making unions and the quote union movement more tyrannical, I think.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Hillary, because she basically doubled down and talked about the unions big time. You know that there's some political paybacks happening there, huh?
Yeah, well, this is not a surprise. I mean, her track record, her husband's track record, you know, the Obama administration's track record, and she was, of course, part of that. It's very clear, 100%, 110% with the union bosses, not in the rank and file. The rank and file are not on board with this agenda. But she's been working the political machine as much as anyone, and we're seeing the payoff now. So many of these unions, even their members in the primary, the Democratic primary, found that their candidate, a lot of them, certainly a lot of loud ones, favored Bernie Sanders, and then ended up just having Hillary forced down their throats. And I think we're seeing that again in the general election. A lot of them support Trump, and yet they're seeing their money and their so-called union leadership forcing Hillary Clinton on them.
All right. What do you think is going to happen here? Is this going to be a defining discussion point in the debates? I think somehow we've got to find a way to insert this as a discussion point, because really, I don't know that there's a greater contrast in America. We can say, well, the border's one of them. Okay, I get it. We can say, you know, Donald wants to blow up everything. But look, Donald and Hillary in the past have been friends. In New York, I don't see how you prevent from being friends. If you're a big developer and there's a senator there, you're going to want to try to create friendships, even if you disagree on many things. Nevertheless, I believe this right-to-work issue, this forced government mandate on the union side versus freedom in America, is one of the most critical issues. When we get back, I want to see what we might be able to do to, one, help you, Patrick, and two, see if we can't make this a debate discussion point. Because if we can get that done, we'll be off to the races, showing the contrast between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt on your radio with Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
During the Bill Clinton administration, White House advisor Paul Degala described a simple formula for overcoming congressional resistance through executive orders. Stroke of a pen, law of the land, kind of cool. George W. Bush expanded on that theory of the president as lawgiver, referring to himself as the decider, and attaching signing statements to legislation in which he claimed the prerogative to ignore provisions of acts he signed into law. Although during his 2008 campaign, Barack Obama criticized such actions as unconstitutional, he too has built upon the precedents of his immediate predecessors, using executive orders and administrative decrees when Congress has refused to cooperate. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, who doesn't appear to understand the constitutionally prescribed limits of executive power, has made frequent and extravagant promises to set policy through executive decree. So has Hillary Clinton, who, unlike Trump, is an attorney with experience in both the legislative and executive branches of the federal government. In anticipation of becoming the first Democratic president in over a century to take office without full control of Congress, Clinton is campaigning on promises to take far-reaching and legally contentious unilateral actions that go beyond the steps taken by President Barack Obama, reports Bloomberg News. They include giving work permits to 5 million undocumented immigrants, requiring background checks for purchases of firearms online or at gun shows, imposing long-term limits on climate warming emissions, and closing a tax loophole that benefits hedge fund managers. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped. And having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the core principles for the Founding Fathers was, you know what, we have the right to the fruits of our labor. And unions in the forced modern-day scenario where governments at the helm and these communistic forced unions are a serious, serious problem. If we're going to ever right the ship of America, we've got to have right to work all over the land. We're looking for breakout moments to promote right to work and to shut down forced tyrannical unions. If people want to gather together, let them, but not by force, not by government, not by mandate, not by edict. And that's the real crux of the issue. Yesterday, we were hoping for a Donald breakout moment. It didn't happen. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, with us. Do you think that we can make this a defining issue or a strong issue of contrast in the debates or before the election? We got 63 days, sir, or 62 now, I guess.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so, and I think that Donald Trump would be well-advised, as we've talked about, to make it an issue. You know, it's just, it would be a great moment, I think, if he could bring this up in the debates. There's no question that putting Hillary on the spot and saying, you know, why do you support a worker being fired for not paying union dues? Isn't that anti-worker? You know, and that's why I believe in right to work. Why are you opposed to it? Why do you want to give unions the power to eliminate the secret ballot election and impose unionization and force dues on workers through a card check? You know, something just like that is really, I think, could be a game changer. It's certainly the kind of thing we need to do everything we can to make happen. So definitely something we'd like to see.
Donald's been sending emails out everywhere saying he's ready to listen. He's ready to hear. What do we want defined as the campaign? Trump card, pardon the phrase. What issues should he focus on? How should he do it? He says, my inside advisors are telling me to kind of back off and mellow out. I don't think so. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get it all done. What do you... And are they really taking you up on that opportunity, Patrick?
Well, we've certainly been reaching out. I mean, in the primaries, he did sign the National Right to Work Committee's candidate survey, one of many Republicans who signed it 100% in favor of freedom and for right to work. So at least at that moment, there was some sort of listening and a response to the many people in the country who support right to work and the 2.8 million members of the National Right to Work Committee. You know, it's hard to know who he's listening to over that campaign. There seems like there's a new shakeup every couple of weeks, and I do worry that And in all of that, some of the message, the opportunities for, let's say, right to work are being lost.
Well, I worry about that, too, but the shakeup at least is trending towards people who have taken the right to work issue seriously. Has Breitbart and many others been willing to talk about it in a fair way?
Yeah, Breitbart's been good on right to work. You know, the Andrew Breitbart, the founder, was good, and they seem to it's you know, because it is an issue with such broad support. It's kind of an issue that you see various, you know, conservative outlets that maybe have their splits, and they go different ways on other issues. Right to work tends to be one that everyone's pretty united on, and that's obviously a good thing.
And that's why you can take right to work and promote it and not necessarily reject all the union people. There's a way, really, to support both if you do it right. And what you talk about is the issue of force. What you talk about is the element of government in bed with union bosses, and that the bosses have betrayed the people. That's how you pitch it, right?
Absolutely. It fits perfectly into sort of the Trump message that the elites are not actually listening to the people, that they're doing their own bidding for their own interests and not for the American people, and not in ways that are consistent with American values of freedom.
All right. Anything else that's critical we ought to know about right now as we go into the final phase of the election cycle and as we just finished Labor Day? Is there anything critical that people ought to be aware of?
Well, you know, obviously this Congress, we've been trying to get a vote in the Senate on the National Right to Work Act. That's probably going to be difficult. But if people want to try and chip in and help out, if they go to stopforceddues.com, they can sign a petition for the National Right to Work Act, and then we'll also send them emails talking about their various candidates for local government, state government, all that sort of thing, and where they stand on right to work. And that's sort of a good way for people to get informed and start being able to make a difference and become educated on who's for freedom when it comes to the workplace and who's for force and coercion. So,
is lame duck Barack going to try to do something to push even harder before he leaves? It seems like he's kind of going for broke and doing everything. Is the right to work or the abuse thereof going to be part of this?
Unfortunately, it's already happening. I mean, just in the past week, we've seen the National Labor Relations Board issue a whole host of decisions. You know, they've said that charter schools can now be run by the Federal Labor Board. They said that graduate students can now be unionized and forced to pay dues as employees under the National Labor Relations Act. We've seen the Department of Labor basically create a blacklist for federal contractors so that if a union files a charge against a company, say, like Boeing, which of course they did a couple years ago in a very high-profile case, just because Boeing decided to open up a plant in Right to Work, South Carolina, they can be blacklisted from federal contracts for that. So we're seeing all sorts of administrative actions right now, the Department of Labor, the National Labor Relations Board. And unfortunately, that's going to keep going, not even just to election day. That's going to keep going literally until those people are removed from office. And so it's unfortunately we're looking at through the end of the year at least.
Yeah, January 20th, right? And then it might get worse.
could be worse, though. So. But,
all right.
We're trying to do everything we can on those, too.
Last point. Do you believe that there are leaders in Congress that are willing to blow the whistle and stand up and speak out about this? We got to really watch this lame duck scenario, because I'm telling you right now, as you mentioned, it's already underway. A bunch of decisions have been released. They're going to triple down in a way that really can be. I mean, I'm telling you, America might not be the same if we don't expose this.
Yeah, unfortunately, the tools that Congress has to stop them are sort of limited. We've seen the Congressional Review Act used, which is something that if a federal agency does something and it's big enough, and in these cases, because of just how many millions of businesses and workers are involved, it's going to be Congress can actually force a vote on that, an up or down vote. That's one way they can hold.
That's one way. Another way is 218 good, honest Republicans and Democrats who believe in fiscal responsibility could flat out defund a lot of these actions. If these boards don't have funding, they're simply shut down and disabled. That's one of the great ways, right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the way the appropriations process has been going, we've seen too many times they run up against the time window, and then they just do a giant appropriations bill with everything. And in order to get it through quickly, they don't attack any of these agencies that are overstepping their legal bounds. But every time the budget comes up, that's something that it's important for people to watch.
Well, they say they're back today for this very reason, that we only got a few weeks before they go home again, and they say the government will shut down if they don't get on it. So we're right up against that very point you make now.
Yeah, and so that's a good time to contact your legislator and say, hey, the Obama National Labor Relations Board, out of control. They you know, we can't keep giving them money to just do the bidding of big labor union bosses when they're not doing their job to protect the rank and file workers and businesses and, you know, grow our economy. And so contact them would be a good step along the way too.
All right, my friend, Godspeed. Thank you so much. I know it's kind of getting back on the horse right after a long weekend and everything, but we appreciate your attention to detail, sir.
Well, I'm glad to talk with you again, Sam.
Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Hey, Kurt, did you see this crazy news story? I guess what happened is this guy put up a Trump sign in his yard. And I got this from The Blaze. Good for Glenn Beck and crew over at The Blaze. But I got this guy put up a Trump sign, and he knew that the thugs would mess with him, Kurt.
All right.
So he put up this Trump sign, dude, and he rigged this sucker up, and he hooked some fishing line that you can't see to the sign and everything else. And he got it all done, and then he just laid back and wait for these thugs to come.
All right.
Lo and behold, a female thug rolled in to steal the sign, buddy. I'm talking hilarious video stuff going on now. Woman caught on video trying to steal man's front yard Trump sign. But karma is swift, says The Blaze. This poor lady grabbed that sign and sprinted, and the end of the wire came and blam, and she just fell right flat on her face.
Oh, that's funny.
And then the guy's like, hey, y'all want to come back and try and steal my sign next time? It's going to get worse. Don't steal private property. I don't care what you think about Donald or anybody else, but don't you dare steal my sign. It's mine, not yours, my sign. And so now it's becoming an epic stance for property rights, Kurt.
Wow.
You got to dig it.
Huh?
Yeah. I think it's funnier than heck. Woman caught on video. Go check it out. You can see it. Oh, it's fantastic. We just need more. We just need more of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting news that I refuse to use. A little bit of levity tossed in for fun. You are listening to Liberty Round, or maybe it's so we don't go insane. Don't know which. Maybe both.
Yeah.
All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We mentioned at the first hour how we have sad and happy news mixed together. Sad because she's no longer with us. Happy because she lived a legacy of liberty. We're talking about conservative icon and founder of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly. And she passed away yesterday, and our prayers are with the family. I know it's a difficult time when you lose anybody, but I'm telling you, what a legacy, what a life to live. What an example of God, family, and country, and what an example of protecting life, liberty, and property. We cut our teeth learning from people like Phyllis Schlafly, ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Just so you understand. Did I think she went far enough? No, I think she was a little too Republican for me. But you know what? I get the generation that she's from, and I get her stellar efforts and her absolute sacred fight in the cause, the holy cause of liberty. And anyway, kudos to her. But she wrote an article, Kurt. She was absolutely dying with her boots on, I'm telling you right now. She wrote an incredible article that was really favorable towards Donald Trump. Kurt's got details.
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. Here she is, 92 years old, Sam. You know, and they try to tell us, hey, you know, about, what, 60? You're supposed to pretty much just sit back and do shuffleboard?
Not when you're Phyllis, buddy. Holy moly.
No, and that lady gives a great example of what to do. You know, and in this article, a lengthy piece you can find at worldnetdaily.com, you know, she basically compares him to Reagan. Now, Reagan, you know, as you mentioned, you know, those two guys are both a little, and even Phyllis, a little more Republican than we'd prefer, but you know, we're kind of the no-party guys, prefer to get rid of the whole thing.
And Lowell like Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is a little bit that way, too, although we love them to death. Yeah. And they do a tremendous job.
That's
and
right.
Really, the debate is who's to say is right. You know, we have our flavor of doing our best, so do they. I think all of us together are the key.
Without their efforts, we'd be in real trouble, in my opinion. But, you know, she talks about in this her last article, Trump in Mexico recalls Reagan in Geneva. And, you know, I don't really remember the whole Reagan in Geneva thing. I wasn't really paying that close of an attention. But, you know, at that time, it was Reagan was saying, hey, we're not going to, you know, sit back and let the Russians do what they want. We're going to put up the, you know, well, they basically was a defense against the incoming missiles, what do they call it, SDI, if I remember right. You know, and the whole press, you know, typically the whole mainstream press was against him. Different reporters, you know, all against him, and even Jesse Jackson were around. But she led a delegation of about 25 distinguished women leaders that went to Geneva to support Reagan back then and American nuclear superiority. The media didn't give him much coverage, surprise, surprise. But later Reagan telephoned her to thank her for her support. Reagan had been elected on a promise to win the Cold War. She says, you know, that's kind of similar to the way Trump is saying, hey, America will win again on all these trade deals and everything. And
Reagan surprise showed up in Geneva to make this point. He was very good at surprise and commanding the discussion. And Donald did the same. All of a sudden, it's like, boom, Donald's in Mexico. He got invited. He accepted. Right. Hillary's at home coughing. Donald's on the beat getting it done, and he delivered stellar-like, and so she writes this article. Just think about that. We were talking about that just a couple of days ago. So right before she passes away, her mind is just sharp as a tack, Kurt, and she nails it.
Good point.
Absolutely point. Nails it. I mean, Trump in Mexico recalls Reagan in Geneva, so she's not only bringing modern-day current on-the-spot politics on the fly, but she's, you know, going back to what was this, 85, Kurt, or 86, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
All right, anyway, so she's bringing back 30 years ago and saying, hey, Trump is just like Reagan in these incredible mind and delivery. And anyway, we bring it up because, one, it's a little bit of a tribute to Phyllis, but two, it's spot on for today's discussions, Kurt. It's not a day later, a dollar short in any way. Even on her deathbed, she's just delivering.
Good point, Sam.
And we know she'll be doing so from the other side anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I got an interesting story. Can I tell you a story about a black dude, Kurt?
Sure.
All right. Well, this black dude's a good dude. I know I'm not supposed to say that because I'm a racist, but it's true, so I'll say it anyway. He's a racist. Right. I mean, he's not a racist. He's a good guy. And I'm not a racist because I like the guy. I think the guy's great. I don't care that he's black. That's an irrelevant discussion. I bring it up because the mainstream press does. And these people that put a note on this Ohio father's windshield, they're not racist either, Kurt.
Good point.
They might be considered so if they're white, like Sean Bergen got fired for saying we need dads in the home, right?
Good point.
All right, I bring this up because here's the headline. Ohio father finds note on his windshield after breakfast with his son. We need more black dads like you.
Ooh.
Kate Scanlon wrote the article, Kurt, and bottom line is, an Ohio father found a touching note on his windshield after going out to breakfast with his infant son. So the guy was a little kid with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the guy's name is, it's Kevin, or K-E-V-O-N. I'm hesitating because I thought it was Kevin, but it's Kevon or Kevin. Smith Sr. Recently took his son, Kevin Smith Jr., to a Cracker Barrel in Ohio, man, and they ate dinner.
Wow.
And so when he got out, he got this little note that said, you know what, we need more black dads like you, signed, and this person and his wife. Today, your meal was on my wife and me, the note added. There's a lot of guys I know that are not taking care of their kids, said Mr. Smith. He says, I didn't have a father growing up, but I want to make sure my kid has the dad I didn't have. He said, I'm happy to show that everybody out here is not a gangbanger. Some of us are out here being fathers. And Smith said he was touched by the stranger's generosity, Kurt. And he's going to do a crazy thing. You ready?
Yeah.
He's a black guy, and he says, I'm going to tell my son this story when he gets older, number one. Number two, I'm going to pay it forward so that somebody else gets the benefit. He says, I get blessed, and I just naturally want to bless the lives of someone else.
Good.
Now, see, this to me is just phenomenal news. It's what we need more of in America. Black. I don't know what race the people were that put the note on his car, Kurt, and I don't care. I know that the man and wife who saw this black man out with his son writing a kind note saying, you know what, thank you for being a father. Thank you for being a dad to your son. We need more of this. The dinner's on us. We just want to tell you how grateful we are that we see this in society. Where's the mainstream press, Kurt, when you need them?
Well, they don't have time to cover stuff.
Kurt,
like
this is the
Sam,
most almost
I mean,
the most important news in the country today because of the healing that it can provide of the rejection of the divide that's been going on for decades. I don't care if it was a black man and wife that gave this to a black dad or a white person.
Care.
The point's all the same.
It's a nice thing to do.
But not only is it a nice thing to do, it's one of the greatest fixes we can push for in America, which is dads at home with mom. Mom and dad together, loving and serving and working and crying and laughing and you know what? Being overwhelmed and all the things that it takes to for the rough and tumble of the world and raising children and doing it. And, man, we need more dads in the home. And Sean Bergen, our poor white brother out there in New York, got fired because he dared to say we need more dads in the home. Anyway, all I'm telling you is the Ohio father who was eating breakfast with his son got an incredible note, and he said, I'm going to pay it forward. When I get blessed, I want to help others and bless the lives of others. All right, now, there's an illegal immigrant story, Kurt, that I want you to highlight today, but I'm not going to put it in the show notes because I want to save it for tomorrow because we need more time on this.
All right.
Illegal immigrants.
Illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, basically, KUSI, it's a San Diego TV station. They ran a special report. You sure you don't want to go over this whole thing?
We want to go over it. We don't have time.
It's not that long. Well, okay.
We got hold on. We need a whole segment on this, Kurt, because this is exactly what Donald's talking about, Kurt.
Yeah.
We'll back into this whole discussion, but this is the point that Donald and many of our friends, Ask Ramos and Campion, two border agents doing a great job. So I want you to go over as much as you can right now, but I want to expand on it a little bit more tomorrow. This is a critical story.
Well, so they get these guys, you know, these illegal aliens, and they basically get them, and the one of the guys says, hey, Obama said it was okay to come.
It's criminal,
and
Kurt.
That's the bottom line, why they all come. We put out that message, right, Sam?
Yes, and this is the problem that Donald's pointing out. Why would the president put out a message absolutely contradictory to the law of the land? And where does he get authority to do so?
Good point.
And if any terrorist acts happen on our soil and it can be traced to the leaky border, would Barack be absolutely responsible, Kurt? Anyway, I'll put the headline of the show notes.
It seems like it to me.
I'll put the headline in the show notes, but I want to talk about this more tomorrow. This story, in my opinion, is critical because we got to talk about the television station and the research they did on this thing and everything. Tie it to Donald Trump. Tie it to the past history that we've dealt with forever in America, which is government leaders think they can just break whatever laws they want to.
Good point.
We'll talk about it because it's critical in America. Are we the law and order people? Do we believe in the rule of law? This nation shall endure.